Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. We're ready for another, 1 hour in the providence of God. This is about, the end of days. It's about the grace of God. It's about the unprecedented rise of radical evil. This week, the theme dealing with the dark agenda, the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, Revelation 13. I want to welcome everybody coming in tonight. It is now July the 22nd. It is 2010, and there's a grave danger that has emerged on the scene. The Mayan prophecies. From the Mayan calendar comes a calculation, a spirit-calculated and given prophecy about the future. What we're living in, what the Mayans have prophesied, or what the presence behind the Mayans have foretold. And I want to say right now that it's this kind of dark, masqueraded as light, but masqueraded as a spiritual source of, as some would say, vastly incredible, superior knowledge, wisdom, on and on and on. It has gripped me so much now that I'm going to do a series on it, a major series on it, because the more they're coming out this year and into 2011, we will see that they will shape and be used by the hierarchy. Now, when I say the hierarchy tonight, we're talking about the externalization of the hierarchy. It is kind of a little glimpse into what Alice Bailey was referring to in her book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy. Well, there's an agenda. It's rocking the world. It has been moving like in the frog in the kettle approach for some time. But its presence, its horns, its teeth, its fins are all being seen in education, in the politics, in the military, environmental concerns, economic destabilization. The battle of the nations. The rattlings of a coming collapse and anarchy. Well, that's what we're going to dig into tonight, and we want to say welcome to Shatter the Darkness. This is Russ Dizdar. Again, July 22nd, 2010. Thursday night's broadcast is broadcast right off of the ShatterTheDarkness.net site, so you can pick that up. All the others are broadcast from Global Star, and again, you can come to the ShatterTheDarkness.net site and go over Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and just click on there. It'll show you how to get the media listening device and how to be able to listen live or for live, as in tonight. So we want you to be, prepared for what's going to be spoken about tonight. Because once again, there is a major, major heads up, a major, major warning. Incredible insight that God has given, and it cannot be found anywhere else. It just simply cannot. And that's why, as we dig into this tonight, we're going to see two vastly different streams of spiritually given doctrine, spiritually given agendas, goals, and the sources are night and day, heaven and hell. The sources, God or a fallen cherub, maybe operating right now in the sense of a angel of light. That's what it would seem like in a lot of ways. But the issue again is the danger. The nutshell of this kind of deception that leads to destruction is found in Genesis 3. Once again, Chuck God embraced the new spirituality. It promises you an evolution. It gives a promise of an evolution to godhood through elitist knowledge that, you may have been told you're not allowed to have. And so the methodology is the same. In dealing with all of this, we got to remember, especially those of you who are believers in Christ, that God gives the actual revelation, insight on the origins of radical evil. Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. When you understand the immensity in the heavenlies, the insurrection, when you understand that the once anointed cherub that walked among the fiery stones of God was perfect in all his ways until wickedness, a violent-willed insurrection that brought instant disintegration, eternal transmutation to the total, DNA, genetics, nature of what once was the anointed cherub. So much so that there is now clearly by God a different description of who he is, what he is. So the origins are revealed. The nature is clearly revealed. Deceiver, destroyer, adversary. When Christ himself comes, in reference to this radical evil, the entity behind it all, that he's the father of lies, that he has no truth in him, that he's a murderer, that his presence infects and affects the entire globe, and that he has rights because humanity, you and I, gave it to him. Oh yes, he's the god of this age, small g, who blinds the minds of literally billions right now, and has rights to fallen humanity. Listen, if you're lost, if you don't know God, I'm just telling you again what the Word of God says is that there's rights over your life. That the dark side has rights because of our sin. Because you and I are cut off from God when we are lost. That our spirits are dead to God. Though we are a spiritual being, to God we've been cut off. And something has been injected. Something's wrong. The death code, the sin code, operative inside, which gives this dark presence a legal right to influence and operate in and upon. Now let me give you again. Something that every single believer should understand, something the world should understand. I mean, we could talk about, Americans could talk about the Russian threat. The Russians could talk about the American threat. The Chinese can talk about whatever threat. The rest of the world could say the Chinese are going to be the great threat. There's North Korea. There's Iran. There's Venezuela. There's Al-Qaeda. There's the Taliban. There's so much. In racism, black, white, white, black. It goes between Asian and black and Mexican and white. And it goes all the way around. It's not really a color problem. It is clearly a sin problem. It's a sin problem. See, Christ died for the sum total of humanity. The truth of the little tiny song, red, yellow, black, or white, they are precious in his sight, is absolutely true. All of the sin and all of the dark ideology that has literally destroyed and dismantled humanity in so many ways. Well, there is one that is the hero. He was nailed to the cross, though he's never sinned. His blood is pure and sinless, Christ. No one like him, Logos, God, always has been, always will be, who came into human flesh for a while. If you don't understand that at all, please go back to the Gospel of John and study out just one chapter very well. They're living words, and God will speak to you. Tonight, as we continue the theme for the fourth night, off the website, shatterthedarkness.net, from July 19th to the 24th, here's the theme: Dark Doctrines, the Agenda, a Mark, and the Image that Lives. A subtitle to this is The Purpose of the Mark and the Image of a Pair of Supernatural Hybrids, the Beasts, the Theron. There's one with his entire system that rises up out of the sea. There's one, a second beast that rises up, ascends out of the earth. We have then the image of the beast that we talked about on Tuesday, the mark of the beast that we talked about on Wednesday. And by the time that the image comes and that the mark comes, I think that's when the so-called play day for New Agers, 2012ers, spiritually esoteric individuals that bought into this age of Aquarius, this globalism. What they did not understand, even though many were doing and have been doing and are doing the Luciferic invocation, you know, the one from Helena Blavatsky, the one the Spirit himself guided them to develop and use. Well, that's what we're going to deal with a little bit tonight. Just what is the dark side saying? The externalization of the massive, massive presence of the fallen cherub and the hundreds, if not billions, of demons. If you were in Hell's Kitchen, what would you see? What would you hear? Would you watch them? That's part of our issue. We do not understand the nature of dark but intelligent beings. Dark but, you've got to understand there's mind there. There's will there. There's agenda there. There's suprahuman, beyond human powers and abilities. Now, there was the goal in the beginning with the Nephilim issue. You know, creation of hybrids that had the powers. They were small g, god men, per se. Well, that's been part of the issue through the ages, part of the issue of the Nazis creating the, wanting to create Aryan god men to be the master race, super soldiers, to bring the enforcement of a 1,000-year reign of the Nazi regime, which would have included the absolute annihilation of every Jew worldwide, every single one, and then eventually to go after every single believer in Christ, and then eventually to force a spiritual presence on a pagan spiritual presence on everyone. Well, that's again what is happening in the predictions of Revelation 12, Revelation 13. The entire book of Revelation, Jesu Christu, the apocalypse, it is the revelation, the unveiling, the unveiling. And in it is the unequaled revelation of the actual events that will occur. They're not predictions of what the scripture hopes to shape in the future. That's the difference between God the Holy Spirit, God-giving, predictive, prophetic revelation, and the finite, dark spirits giving prophetic, predictive information, whether through the New Age movement, whether through ancient cultures that are being dug up again, and the large body of the Mayan prophecies that are being used and will be used in a broader sense in the next year or so. So hear me now when I say, whatever you know about the Mayans right now, the prophecies, the so-called spiritual writings predicting future events, are being hailed as the supreme, you know, unequaled, you know, writings, and yet they come off the back of the most bloody human sacrificing group of people under Nephilim rule, Nephilim architecture, demonically guided astral archaeology, where human blood is shed by the thousands and thousands for the doorways to be opened, the spiritual powers of darkness to reign. And it seems as though back then, a great body of the agenda of the future, the sequence of satanic evolution, of the events, would be spelled out from their side. And I want to say something, that the Mayan prophecies from hundreds of years ago are lining up specifically with the spiritual prophetic agenda that is written in the little occult book called The Externalization of the Hierarchy. Alice Bailey in the 30s with a particular, some would call an ascended master, a Tibetan, a spiritual being, literally was fusing with her, guiding and dictating every bit of the book. Now, I've got the book I've read, and I'm rereading and rereading others that have looked at it and realizing this, that if you ever read that book, you are actually reading demonic didache that is spoken about in Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit of God said that in the end of days, planos spirits, imposter, seducing spirits would be moving in a vast way to deceive many, to pull even people from the faith, from Christ in Christendom, as far as biblical Christendom, and that they would be operating through individuals and bringing about didache, teachings, writings. So they are, like the Bible is, inspired by the Spirit of God. And it would be good for New Agers and 2012ers and many others to really understand that as they are picking up what they believe are Spirit-inspired books, Spirit-inspired revelations, Spirit-inspired prophecies, it's amazing to me that they cannot see and understand and discern the Spirit of God's inspiration on a human scale, unequaled as far as manuscripts, as far as the historicity, as far as the archaeological background to the, especially the New Testament. On a human scale, it's beyond anything when it comes to the manuscripts. But we're talking now the God, the Holy Spirit, and the living words. I've said this before about one man I was reading. I believe he was a military captain or general or someone, and I was reading about it in a book on the Bible, and I was reading the story about how this man, when he went off to a base, whatever, he was studying and studying and studying, and one day he just slammed the Bible shut and yelled out loud, "This book knows me." Well, it does. The author of that book is in it, speaking through it, with it, inseparable from it. Now, this is why we need to understand, who are believers in Christ out there, that demonic doctrine is a counterfeit. It is an inspiration by a spirit or a group of spirits of writings for whatever their purpose. And the key to understanding all demonic doctrine would be this, that in the manifest writings, that is the actual writings anybody could read, inspired by demonic presence through an individual that has come to open up to it, believe in it, yield to it. I mean, the writer of demonic doctrine or prophecy is already believing in the spiritual presence that's guiding them, in the knowledge that's being given to them, and the insights that are being given, the revelation that's being given. So, as they write it all out, they clearly see their writings as sacred and special and spiritual, and they are spiritual and they are supernatural. They've just come from hell's kitchen, not heaven's table. So when you read, if you ever do, and I don't say that I recommend it, you'll notice that I never quote what I believe is demonic doctrine. I'll make reference to it, I'll speak about it, I'll kind of paraphrase what it is saying. But the specifics are very clear. Now I'm going to give some overview of this, and I'm going to take it off of actually a very good website. And I've written to Terry a number of times, I think once or twice in the past. And conspiracyarchive.com, conspiracyarchive.com. As a matter of fact, if you want to go there, under conspiracyarchive.com, if you also put in New Age Alice Bailey, it's where he writes the article about, the externalization. And here's how it begins. Now, listen to these words. Now, he's quoting, and I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to just take a little piece of this, of what he's given, And these are this is what I'm referring to, not only in the doctrine but in the prophetic development. In other words, it's as if the spirit that guided Alice Bailey in the 30s guided her to map out an entire New Age religion, its progress, its development, its then seeking the vessels that would further it and help open doors so that more presence can come through and affect, as we're going to see here, people in all walks of life, institutions and individuals. Here's what part of it says. It talks about preparation must be given. Listen. To the developing of the higher psychic powers. So part of what the spirit that is guiding Alice Bailey to write is talking about how a preparation must be laid out for the developing. Now, when they say the higher psychic powers, they're talking about how, again, the spirit demonic side, revelation, can begin to come through individuals' minds and hearts, but they'll have to be trained in meditations, in learning how to listen, learning how to, you know, passively kind of allow themselves to tune in. It's exactly what I went through the end of the 60s, beginning of the 70s, in a temple where a master taught us. I was in a project called Golden Buddha. And it had this very, I mean, I'm saying that I would have been part of what this in 1933 or 37, I think it's 33, what it was all about. I was being drawn into it back then before I came to Christ and, you know, well, received the Spirit of God instead of being guided by this dark, but looks like light, supernatural, spiritual doctrine, guidance. It talks about here how hospitals and schools will appear and they will come under the direct, listen now, direct guidance of the masters. Listen again. Teachers, referring to spiritual teachers that are getting the information from the masters, listen, will train the minds of the pupils to be responsive to direct inspiration from above. In the 30s, as a powerful entity guides the occultist Alice Bailey, who eventually went on to write a total of about 21 volumes, massive, massive didache teaching, massive in the scope of laying out an agenda, being supernaturally prophetic in the demonic sense. Literally laying out what it is they want to accomplish. And it is absolutely incredible to go back to the 30s, read through the entire book and see all the agenda, teaching, goals, desires, prophetic elements. And then look and study the New Age movement, esoteric movements, even 2012 Mayan prophecy stuff coming out. And it all fits. There is a synchronicity in all the development leading in one direction. Luciferic doctrine, Luciferic agenda, in its application of ousting God, replacing all of God, Christ, Bible, with a whole new spiritual, not only indoctrination, agenda, control. Now, it's when I say the hierarchy, it's the ascended masters. Now, I'll mention to those that are believers out listening right now that, you know, again, have your Bibles open and understand that why we do this? Well, Ephesians 5, expose evil deeds of darkness. Then again, the New Testament is about a third of it is all prophecy. And it deals with three elements. What God is doing, what mankind is going to do in responses and so forth and development, and what the dark side. God is laying out what the dark side's sequential agenda and how it will manifest in the world, how it will emerge. It's clear that there is a clear understanding of a satanic evolutionary process, convincing man that it is a evolutionary process, that it is a constant hiring, making the human consciousness higher and more supernatural or more godlike. And so this constant goal of feeding human minds, as this page I'm reading says, actually the information comes off of page 516. And it's, again, this concept of the goal back then was to teach a lot of teachers, the masters and the spirits guiding, and then others who are in the theosophical movement and other societies would teach others, and others would teach others, until finally they're literally helping. And I will give you partial quote, or at least let me put it in these words. Their goal is to train the minds of millions of people to be responsive to direct inspiration from above. I want to say it one more time, because the entire field of remote viewing has been sucked into this. The psychics out there have been, clearly for years. All you can go back and study the mediums, the readers of the dead, the psychics of pre-Nazi Germany and right up through the rise of the spirit-given Nazi ideology. Here we have this concept that behind all of this are the ascended masters. They've been called the Great White Brotherhood. Oh, they're really out there. We read in the book of Ephesians, a massive, massive book of revelation of the spiritual side that is battling humanity, battling God, seeking to keep man from God, and that side that attacks those who believe in God. Let me stop for a second. If you're a believer in Christ, and you know what it is to go through spiritual attacks, spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, you know what it is to have a spiritual oppression come, involuntary feelings and thoughts that are coming against your mind and heart to run contrary to what you believe in Christ, contrary to the Word of God. Sometimes believers can feel that they're in a battle. They don't know what's going on. Don't forget, Jesus, with the early disciples in a room, they had no clue. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, "Simon, Simon," referring to Peter. And in the Greek, he uses the plural word, you, referring to all you guys. He says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all you guys as wheat." That is, to come against you, to defeat you, to beat you down. "But I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail." Now that gives us the insight, a spiritual movement behind the scenes. At that time, the early disciples had no clue what was about to pounce on their minds and hearts. Jesus did. It's very clear that this dark side never outran the infinite Christ. Never was able to move without God knowing. There's a vast, vast difference between the real, infinite, almighty, omniscient, omnipresent God, and even the finite, fallen, as big and as powerful as the dragon, the fallen cherub, Satan is, in comparison to humanity, fallen humanity. In comparison to God, there is an infinite difference. An infinite difference. But Satan will use all of his powers in the perverted, dark sense of destruction, adversary, deceiver, seducer, tempter. And so will the hundreds of billions of spirits. And yes, they will show themselves as translucent, as bright, as angels of light. They will engage humanity. See, they are like predators that can look and spot humanity and what it is they desire, how it is they could be tricked. They're masters. They're the originators of the lie, of deception, of seduction, of the trick. And so as they look, they can perceive to see how they will bring their attack. So I'm saying to the believer, on an individual basis, Ephesians chapter 6, where God says, do you want to have the mighty, do you want to literally manifest in and out of your life the mighty power and strength of God? Ephesians 6:10. Do you want to be filled with the mighty power of and the strength of God? Well, then we have to put on the armor of God, and the whole realm of reason there is so that you can take your stand against the evil day. The day when you are attacked, the day when, you know, opposition does come. And God tells you and I as individual believers, your struggle, your battle is not against flesh and blood. Look how many times the word against is used. Again, God doesn't say that it's negative energy, that it's just negative vibes. You know, there can be negative energy, negative vibes, but it always backs up. It's emanating from demonic entities. And I want you to know, they're hot, they're revengeful, they are in absolute hate of anybody who loves God, knows Christ, preaches the truth, and stands in opposition to them. So your struggle's not against flesh and blood. It is against the powers. It's behind Alice Bailey. It's behind Helena Blavatsky. It's behind the New Age movement. It's behind the Mayan prophecies. It's behind what's going on with the remote viewers and psychics and others. You see, remote viewers are allowing the human capacity of perception, discernment, sensing, that can only go so far, to be enhanced. So on the one hand, it's a natural human thing to have perception, discernment, perception, sensing, feeling. But to open up to the Akashic records, to open up to the collective unconscious collective, to open up to the field out there, is to open up to the realm, the domain. It's called a domain. It's like, again, a given locality. And again, I would urge, as a human being, any psychic remote viewer, any 2012 devotee, to listen and study some of the scripture that I'm saying. See, I'm saying that you are incredibly seduced and being deceived, that the data, the revelation, the insight that you're picking up is not coming from God at all. It doesn't match anything about God's character, God's agenda, God's love, about what God did in Christ. It matches nothing concerning the vast prophetic revelation of God that has demonstrated itself to be 100% accurate in the details of what people think, what people feel. I mean, we have one prophecy 3,000 years ago, Psalm 2, that is speaking about the day of Armageddon. Well, what leads up to it, but ultimately the day of Armageddon. It talks about the peoples, the nations, the kings. It talks about how they will take their stand against God and against Christ, the Messiah. That their declaration is they want to throw off all the fetters of God, that they want to, well, take their stand in opposition to God and Christ. How can that be? Now, there are many other biblical prophecies that, again, bring more insight and broader picture to that whole development of the world as it moves to a Luciferic-inspired globalism, Luciferic-inspired military system with things like a mark of the beast and a image of the beast. And again, let me touch real quick. The image of the beast is most likely a level of some kind of technology combined with spirit. That's one of the issues predicted out of the book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, in the 1930s, directly dictated by the demonic ascended master, claiming that science, scientists, and will develop by spirit-given ideas, technologies, and science issues that will open the door, it will break down the veil between the physical side, the spiritual side, and help fuse them. And that there will be technologies and science that are guided by the spiritual information, the spiritual masters, and lead them to develop things that brings a combination to technology and science. So the image that eventually comes out in the future, it's not here yet, never has been, but the image that is commanded to be made by the second Theron, the beast, commands it to be made, and so that it will be used as a spiritual, but maybe a technological, visible tool that will force, the goal is to force all of humanity to worship the first beast, Satan himself in human skin. And so that's part of the way the so-called future New Age, the new dawn after the chaos, the Mayan prophecies we'll even talk about. Everybody's being sold, you know, a spiritual oasis, but it will be the same as in the beginning. The broader the deception, the broader the destruction. It's not going to be an age of freedom and peace and enlightenment. It will quickly lead to, by the mid part of the tribulation, when it's called the Hathalipsis Hamagali, the great, the tribulation. By the time this comes, the seizing of all, the forcing of all, the image as we talked about in Revelation 13, the mark as we talked about, that branding, which will be more like a sigil, if you want to call it a stamp or a branding that includes, most likely, in my opinion anyway, a spiritual acquisition. Just like in the Old Testament days, that's why God said don't mark the body in the occultic sense to a demon god, because the markings were to list the name of or the entity, a demon god, and bring an attachment right to the human skin. So we're to avoid, and we need to be extremely careful about any marking and what markings anybody's guided by to put on their skin. Because the possibility is of demonic attachment. If it's the name of, the sigil, the symbol of a demonic entity. Because you'll see that in all the ziggurat areas of the world, all of the ancient, like the Mayan places. Look again at the markings. Look again at priests dressing similar to Quetzalcoatl, who was, again, they're going to sell Quetzalcoatl as a Christ-type figure. Nothing could be further from the truth. I've got a picture of Quetzalcoatl, who may have been Nephilim, with a knife jabbing it into the eyeball and into the head of a sacrificial human victim. As the victim is being brutally sacrificed for the sake of demonic appeasement and demonic power, Quetzalcoatl is doing it. So those that are wanting, you know, and again, there's a combination of that ancient culture, what was written, what was released. What most do not realize is the demon gods, even when you shut the doors on them. When I've been through exorcisms hundreds of times in casting demonic presence out of people, they don't die. The demon gods of the Mayans, they didn't go away. They're there. Ted Owens, he was called in the 70s, PK Man. Considered one of the great, great psychic warrior type individuals with high abilities. He went down there. He went down there knowing that he wanted to contact the spirits in those temples. Those blood-soaked places where the demons, in again, not just, as I was mentioning earlier, the Ephesians 6 issue, there are principalities, there are rulers, powers. There's one Greek word used there called kosmokrator. These are spiritual beings. The Spirit of God lists them as wicked. They are wicked spiritual beings in the heavenly realms. They're operative. They are operative out of that realm. They are the ones that operate the so-called Akashic Records, collective unconscious or unconscious collective. They operate in the ether. They operate in the astral plane. They operate there. They can show you realms. They can show you places. They can show you anything. They can create and develop and show. But it's not real. It's all about deception. What we see is an agenda that is surfacing as never before in human history, as predicted by God, the Spirit of God, as written in Old Testament, New Testament. Again, you've got the Bible written by, 40 different writers are used. Over 1,600 years of writing. Three continents, three languages, but again, one God, one agenda. There's one real dark power presence. There is sin. And so we look at the Old Testament, which is a progressive revelation in a deeply fallen and darkened world, constantly pointing to the coming of God in Christ, constantly pointing to the Savior of the world, constantly pointing to one who will take away sin, who will defeat evil, who will eventually bring a 1,000-year reign of absolute peace, no war, no rape, the healing of the nations, the lamb lays down with the lion. That's the Prince of Peace, the same one that died on the cross. But everything this ascended master that guides Alice Bailey is exactly like the ascended masters and spirits and Nephilim that would have been there in the days of the Mayans, that would have taught them the same content. See, nature dictates what it is their agenda and what it is their teaching is going to be. The nature of God, in all that God reveals, is about redemption, about reaching mankind, about his giving of his life, about, that's why we, again, the scriptures. So coming from God in his nature, coming from the other side, what's the nature of the other side? What's the nature of the demon gods of the Mayan? What's the nature of Quetzalcoatl? What's the nature of Moloch and Baal and Chemosh and many others? Don't forget there's hundreds of millions. There are principalities, there are powers, rulers, there are kosmokrators. And everything that God says is this, that there will be an evolutionary development of their presence, their teaching, their infection of all of society. The Word of God teaches that their manifestation will become stronger and broader. It will include, on the one hand, trying to distort with the goal of rejecting the real Christ and the real Word of God and replacing it with alternatives constantly. When Jesus Christ himself was asked about the end of days, don't forget, Matthew 24, the very first thing he said was, don't let anybody deceive you. Many will come in my name, claiming they're the Christ, false prophets and so forth. A bulk of spiritual teaching through spirit-guided individuals in alienology, ufology, in the Alice Bailey writings, in the New Age writings, and now in the Mayan prophecy, the revelations of those writings, again, there's the goal of claiming others are the Christ, claiming others are godlike, claiming that we can be godlike, that we can have a conscious evolution to deity, a transformation. And that's what was promised in Genesis 3 that led to the fracture of with God. It led to death. Separation. It's what brought. So the warning again is the deception now and as the days move forward will be unprecedented in number, unprecedented in a variety of ways it is brought about. Visions, dreams, channelers, off of objects, crystal skulls, old ancient prophecies that will be resurrected and used. Who's resurrecting them? Who guided the people to go to the Mayans? I'm going to tell you later in the series that New Age harmonic convergences, there has been a, in a sense, praying for, seeking for these ancient revelations. If you call to those spirits, they will guide you to their materials. There is a synchronicity. They know the connection. Matter of fact, the Bible, you know, reveals that in a real sense, they've grid mapped the entire earth. They operate just out in the dense atmosphere around us. And the more they manifest, the more the world feels. Darkness in the air. Why? There is a ruler, prince, but the Greek word means ruler, of the domain, this locality, of the eros. That's the Greek word. Ephesians chapter 2. It's a powerful revelation depicting that just above our heads in the atmosphere, the dense atmosphere around the earth, is literally a field, a band, a domain where this presence is packed and from it emanates their work, their agenda, their nature. Massive spiritual presence. It's what the old ones called the Akashic Records. Some newer calling the collective unconscious. Well, Jung did this, the psychologist, that was given open to the spirits. See, again, the spirits will teach you their side of the fence. They cannot and they will not. They will never teach the truth of God, of Christ, of sin, of death, of heaven and hell. They're not going to point the finger at themselves. The only time that ever occurs is when we get into a deliverance exorcism, where the person thinks they've got a translucent spirit, that they've got an alien presence, that they've got a ancestral spirit. And when we command it to make itself known for what it is, in every case, demonic entity that mocks, hates, is violent towards God, but knows the authority, the presence, the power of Christ. As a matter of fact, these powerful entities, they don't fear Buddha, they don't fear Muhammad, they don't fear or worry about Quetzalcoatl. But when any real believer having that authority expresses in command, it's as if the hammer of God strike. They do scream, they do get angry. They have to bring and they have to obey. Believers would do well to really know Luke's Gospel 10, where Jesus said, I've given you authority. Now, if you understand the idea that there are well, your struggle, your battle is not against flesh and blood, then please understand that family lines, tribes of people, groupings of people, cities, nations, when it comes to the governmental power places, educational systems, military, all the institutions, biblical revelation shows the dark side seeks to grab hold of, influence, and cast their influence into all the institutions, groupings of people, nations, individuals, let alone in the actual air, to where you can even feel. If you feel it in the air where you live, what you feel is really there. It's what the Bible talks about in Ephesians 6. Now, I'm looking over these paperwork here from Terry, the author of the conspiracyarchive.com website. As he goes over the Alice Bailey, he calls it a satanic communion. And as he brings Revelation out, and he does quote the externalization of the hierarchy, bits and pieces of it. And I'm giving you kind of a synopsis of it, where the goal, again, I'm looking down here on page 22 that I've got here. I'm sorry, this is page 1 out of 11 that I've got. And it says that the object, helping that there'd be they're creating and infusing ideas and influence, assisting them to make their plans for humanity materialize. Now, I'm quoting from Terry himself here. Quote, one way to materialize the hierarchy, the demonic plan for humanity, is through Lucifer's Trust. In 1920, you know, Alice Bailey founded the book place, and now it's called Lucius Trust. You ought to do a big study on that. It is a incredibly a power center for the opening of the door to this evolution of satanic agenda. Here's what it goes on to say. Their goal is the practice of occult meditation, the science of energy flow, and energy relationships. Lucius Truss states that, quote, occult meditation is a means of consciously and, listen, purposely directing energy from a recognized source to the creation of some other, you know, effect, source effect. In other words, they become the channelers. What's coming down out of the Akash, out of the realm, the atmosphere, this eros, is data, communication, seeking humans to meditate on it, receive it, and then put it on paper, channel it, and disseminate it, convince others of it, become the, they're to process with it. They invoke the energies, it says here. They invoke the energies of ice, and they go and visualize these energies as circulating through the three focal points of each triangle. You know what a triangle is in darker left-hand path occultism? Power cone. The way of bringing up demonic presence in and containing a presence in the triangle, the power cone. What they call the great invocation or the Luciferic invocation is crying out. And again, when they say God in any of the writings, they don't mean God, mean literally Lucifer. When they make any reference to Scripture, even this entity tells them, shows them how to reframe. I've said this before, no demon can or will quote Scripture correctly. And an incredible example is Matthew 4. When Satan literally quotes Scripture, they know the Scripture well. I dealt with a man that was ritually and sexually abusing a federal officer's wife for years. I finally found him by God's providence, engaged him, and as we were engaging and talking and told him to leave her alone and on, we left that site, went back to the victim's home, the telephone rings, one of my works picked the phone, handed it to me. It was this man, his coven name, Kaino. And he began to yell at the woman, asking why she sent us. And I said, listen, she's not here right now. This is the same guy that just met you on the streets. You are a false prophet. You know what he began to do? He began to quote 1 John chapter 3 almost perfectly. Almost perfectly. And he would skip pieces here and there, and ultimately he used it to claim that he was Christ. If I would bow down to him, he'd give a new mind. That's right. He would give a new mind. Anyone who does yield to these spirits will get infused spiritually. Energy, revelation, and their presence connecting to and etching to, if you let them. Externalization. In fact, it's also the coming of the appearance of Christ. Their Christ is the Christ. Their entire reading agenda in that book is the frog kettle evolutionary approach to evolving millions through, again, Terry does, he breaks it down good, through telepathic communicants. Want trained observers, net healers, educators in the mood. They want political organizers, workers in the field of religion, scientific servers, psychologists. Psychologists, hey, who wrote the book, The Course in Miracles? Financiers and economists, creative workers, and on and on and on. Can I tell you something? It is amazing to me that that's exactly what has developed from their side. I mean, God has given the insight. God has warned us. Now, we haven't reached the day where the apocalypse of Antichrist, the false prophet, the regime, but it has developed. In the frog in the kettle approach, in the hidden approach, it's developed. It's among us. It's developing as we speak. See, in Christ, the Spirit of truth comes into our lives. We know the Word of God. God has the agenda to reach the world, and nothing should hold us back in doing God's will. As a matter of fact, that's the place of the greatest power, the greatest defense for the Christian is in the massive Spirit-led offense of evangelism, powerful praying. Oh, may I encourage you to be a part, clothed with the Spirit of God, fearless, bold as a lion, but compelled by the love of God. Don't wait until the future arrives. God is here now. Christ is with you now as a believer. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, right now you can come to know Him as Savior and Lord. We've run out of time tonight, but this is the issue. Jesus Christ pursues those of you who do not know Him. You can come to the living Christ right now and receive God's presence and power, His protection. If you're a believer, you can be a part of the mission of God in reaching others. The gospel is still the power of God for all who believe. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. We'll see you on Friday night. If you miss any of these nights, it's all on the archives. Keep us in your prayers, and we encourage you, without any commercials, without any product support, we encourage your support and investment. Consider that for us. We bless you in the name of the living Christ. Good night.